In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text is the Gospel reading, which I've already read. Please be seated. The pairing of the Old Testament reading today with the Gospel is quite beautiful when you consider it. We begin the story of the first temptation, the temptation of Adam and Eve by the smooth tongue of the serpent in the garden. It was in failure of Adam to keep the word of God that mankind was plunged into the curse of sin and death. St. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 5 when he says, "Sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned." You see, sin and its consequences were not part of God's original intention for creation. God had created a world without sin, without disease, without loss. But the devil, out of his hatred for the Father's great love for mankind, sought to drag all of creation into his rebellion. The old evil foe now means deadly woe. Deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal. With might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Ask ye who is this? Jesus Christ it is. Yes, God has sent his son Jesus to do battle with the devil for us. It's worth noting that the devil's tactics don't really change from year to year, from era to era. From the Garden of Eden to the time of Jesus in our own day, they are the same. The first temptation that Jesus faces, though, is a little bit of a sneaky one, and it is overshadowed by what the devil says. The devil says these words to Jesus: "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Now, in that one sentence, there are actually two separate temptations. The first temptation is found in the words, "If you are the Son of God." Now, if you were to open your pew Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, where you find today's gospel text, you would see that this is positioned directly after the baptism of Jesus at the end of Matthew chapter 3. And the last words that Jesus heard before the Holy Spirit led him up into the wilderness were his Father's words. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." When the devil says, "If you are the Son of God," he is using the same tactic he used against Eve in our Old Testament reading. It is as if the devil had said, "Did God actually say, you are the Son of God?" This is the same temptation that Satan levels against Christians every single day. The devil's attacks on this front may be varied, but they all have the exact same goal: to make you doubt your standing before God. He may point out your sins. He may point to your lack of warm and fuzzies in your spiritual life. He may point to the hardship and suffering that you undergo in your life. And all of that he does to lead up to the one question: did God actually say that you are his child? Christ did not flinch at this, and neither should you. Your relationship to God is not found in your sins. It is not found in your feelings, and it is not found in the hardship that you face. It is found in his work done in and for you in the waters of holy baptism, where he adopted you as his child. It is written, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." The second temptation also shows the propensity of the devil to return to the same tactics that have worked for him in the past. God was able to tempt Adam and Eve through the stomach, and so why not try it again? This is yet another warning about the cares and riches and pleasures of this life that seek to choke out the seed of God's word within us. Putting even our physical needs over the word of God serves our bellies as a god. And in the end, that kind of service is destruction. Jesus rebuffs the devil's temptation here with the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. As Christians, we are to follow our Lord. This means that we are not to gratify the desires of the flesh. Even something basic as food needs to be put into subjection under the word of God. As Jesus says in another place, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. The next temptation includes another attempt by the devil to get Jesus to doubt that he is indeed the Son of God. This is important because the temptation for Jesus to throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple may well have played into an ancient Jewish legend that the Messiah would appear at the top of the temple, that that was how God would reveal his Savior to his people. For Jesus, this would give him the opportunity to prove that not only was he the Son of God, but also that he was the Messiah. The devil tried to make this temptation sweeter by quoting the Bible at Jesus. But Jesus responds handily, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." This temptation is a reminder that the devil knows the word of God oftentimes better than we do. As Christians, we are to equip ourselves to ward off the devil's misuse of the Bible. But in order to do this, we must hear and study the word of God that we might be able to use it against the temptations of the devil. But this temptation would also have us look for Jesus where he has not promised to reveal himself to us. We live in an age that wants to find Jesus in signs or in nature or in our feelings. But in the Gospels, Jesus warns that our generation, which is wicked in its quest for signs, that we will receive no sign except the sign of Jonah. That is, Christ reveals himself to us in his death and in his resurrection. And even though we do not see these things with our own eyes, Christ places them before us through his word and through his sacraments. And finally, the devil tempts Jesus with all the kingdoms of the earth, but only if Christ would simply bow down and worship him. This final temptation shows the devil for what he truly is: nothing but a farce. Nothing that he offers to Jesus truly belongs to him. Jesus is the Lord of heaven and earth, and all the kingdoms of this world are his. The earth is his and the fullness thereof. In the same way, the devil offered Adam and Eve wisdom and likeness with God, but what had God already said? Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. In Ecclesiastes, God says, "For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy." The devil offered Adam and Eve what they already had. What he truly sought to give them instead of wisdom and likeness with God was death itself. And in the same way, the devil offers us empty promises of a more exciting life. He tricks us into thinking that we can have a more beautiful wife or a more romantic husband like those in the Hallmark movies. He promises us that we will be better at baseball or volleyball if we just play in the weekend travel leagues. He assures us that God will still be somewhere out there with us. But in the end, these are but empty promises. The more we strive after what has not been given to us, the unhappier we become. It's not uncommon to hear about how truly unhappy the wealthiest are for that very reason. God is not found in the pursuit of whatever your heart tells you to do, but he is found in the gifts that he gives, the gifts that he gives to us without any merit or worthiness on our part. And so, dear friends in Christ, the devil's tactics really are not new, even in 2019. The very things that he used to tempt our first parents are the things that he used against Christ, and he still uses against us today. But the beautiful irony is that the very things that the devil used to conquer us, a virgin, a tree, and food, are the very things that Christ uses to overcome the devil. He who tricked Eve to take from a tree and eat the forbidden fruit is here defeated by the one who is born of the Virgin Mary, who hanged for us upon the tree of the cross, and who offers us here at his altar his body as the true food from heaven. Let us therefore flee to Christ, who has turned back the tempter with the power of his holy word. In Jesus' name, the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.